Okay, so we on a weekly basis have not story time, but Bible time where we really dig into God's Word. We have the kids answer questions. I call it, do you have yours turned on? Okay. So this is Miss April White. She is kind of my go-to person. Her and I,
What do we do?
We talk back and forth, and,
yep, go back and forth.
We help each other look better. So, not actually look better, but do a better job,
right,
of teaching. Right. Mm-hmm. So we also have chairs and our, okay. So some of these kids are our children's ministry kids by addition. So we have a couple, these two right here are what we call 6th, 7th grade volunteers. So they continue in children's ministry, but they do things like help answer hard questions or pass out the snacks or create more chaos. No. No. They do. And rain too. Yeah, sometimes they do.
Where do you
but
want
to that's okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, we need this. All right, so we are going to let you in on our lesson and help you to listen, maybe. All right. What did she say?
He's here. Can I have a microphone?
Yeah, I think that's a bad idea. We know who to give a microphone to and not to give a microphone to. All right, so we're going to talk about first things first, right? And we're also going to talk about children obey your parents. We're going to talk about some of those things. We're going to talk about parents don't provoke your children to wrath. Okay, but we're going to start with first things first. So I need Asa up here. All right, Asa, what do you guys notice about Asa?
Have a seat.
He doesn't have any shoes or socks on. He's in barefoot. Okay, and I warned his parents I was going to do this, so they didn't think he was just being obnoxious.
Show him your feet.
So, show him your bare feet. Okay. So we are trying to bare shoes. Is it working? Okay. So if you turn around, they can't see your feet close. They don't know if they're dirty or not. All right. So these are your shoes and socks, right? So I'm going to help you put them on. Okay. All right. So we're going to put your shoes on first.
What?
And then we're going to put your socks on.
Okay. What? What are you doing, Sue?
They're called
sock shoes.
There you go, sock shoes.
What?
Okay, let's do the other one.
Okay.
All right, the other one, please.
All right. Does this feel right?
I talked to you about it. You never said you didn't. Okay. All right. So what do you think, guys? Titus, it's not your name. Okay. So what do you think, guys? Did I do a good job of getting your shoes and socks on?
No. Somebody
right,
said
what's
no.
What's the problem? Aiden, what's the problem? I didn't. So you're saying I didn't do the first thing first? What was the first thing I should have done?
Socks.
Oh, the socks and then the shoes.
All right,
okay.
Let's try it again.
I'm going to let you go fix that. All right.
He said, thank you.
Well, thank you for letting me embarrass you. Okay. Okay, what's this, guys? Okay, it's the starting. We just started Pinewood Derbies on Wednesday night. So this is the very beginning. So can I paint this, put the tires on it, and race it?
No.
It will not work well, right? Because first it needs to be cut out, although we did have one kid do that once, and he did not do too bad. He didn't win, but he didn't do too bad.
That's not the lesson, Sue.
Yes, yeah, not the lesson, sorry. All right. So This is our car. And at first, it's got to be cut out, right?
Yep.
We choose our designs. They get cut out. And then what do we do? Your favorite thing. What's the next thing we do?
We sand it.
We sand them. How many people love sanding? You do? You love sanding it? Okay. Usually they complain. So they just don't want you to know.
Oh. Are you okay, 8th day? It's okay. It's all right. Okay. I'll help you, friend.
All right.
Okay.
You so then they sand it. And I can tell you it takes multiple weeks to sand these things. You have to sand them down, make them really smooth. Okay, and my husband says, so I thought the reason you sand them down is so they run better and the paint sticks better. No, but apparently you sand them down to get all the impurities out and all the marks, and because when you cut them out, they make a lot of different dings in them. So you're smoothing it out, so when you put the paint on it, it looks good. Okay, first things first, right? Okay, I can't just race this car. I've got to do first things first. A lot of stuff. Okay, so I have something called plantar fasciitis. And if any of you know what it is, it's extreme pain in your foot, usually in your heel, and it's terrible, okay? And so I am wearing these ugly shoes because I don't have a choice, okay? And what happened yesterday is I was very busy with Bonfire, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and that's stretch it out. Okay, I'm supposed to do it in the morning when I wake up and in the evening before I go to bed, and guess what? That didn't happen. So at the end of last night, I was in a lot of pain. I didn't put the first thing first.
Sue's feet hurt.
And so what we're talking about today is first things first. Before we get into what we're supposed to do as far as children and parents, we're going to talk about what's supposed to come first, okay? And we're going to go back to Ephesians. We've been studying Ephesians, right? And so we're going to talk about what Paul said to the Ephesians first. And everything that we're going to talk about today follows that. So we're going to look at the next slide, which is giving us some of the highlights of what happened in Ephesians. We're supposed to imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Okay? We love our kids, right? And kids who really love their parents, you can just see it, right? Have you ever seen that little kid that just sees their mom and it's like, mommy, mommy, and just there. I watch my grandson twice a week, and he loves me all day. But when his parents show up, I'm chopped liver. Okay, because they're there and he wants to be with them. Okay, and that's how we're supposed to love God, that we're dearly loved children, that we can hardly wait to be with him, to listen to him, to do what he does. And you're supposed to live a life filled with love. What? Oh, did you hear that? Are we having snacks soon? Regular question. Regular question in the middle of almost every lesson. Did you prompt him for that? Okay. Didn't have to prompt him, see? All right. And yes, we are having snack, but it's at the end, remember? We're going into the, yes. All right, yes. What? No. But you'll see. All right. So we're going to live a life filled with love. We're going to follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, and so we're to be a pleasing aroma to God. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light. For this light within you produces what is good and right and true. Okay. Next slide. Okay, so this is my grandson. I had to put him in somewhere. I actually have 6 grandkids, but this went with my lesson. So this is my grandson, and we are at my mom's facility that she lives at. And my mom has dementia, and so we go and see her twice a week. And there is a lady there who is the facility's cleaner. And she has taken a liking to my grandson. And so she lets him help her mop the floor, dry mop the floor. This particular day, he had helped her enough that she didn't have to help him. He did it on his own. So when we're talking about imitation, the goal is, right, that as we imitate Christ, we become more like Christ. We do more of what he wants us to do, right? And so there's my grandson. He's helped. He's been a part of it. In the beginning, he did a terrible job and kept dropping it. But now he did that whole back area by himself, and she just followed him, right? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to follow him, and he wants to eventually teach us the things we need to know so that, I thought that was my phone. I'm glad it's not. Okay, so he went on his own. Okay, next slide. More things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to determine what pleases God. So this is my new thought. Maybe it's not a new thought, but it's something that doing this lesson has gotten me. It's like, before I do anything, before I say anything, what pleases the Lord in this situation? What is it that God wants me to say or do that pleases him? And I'm sure that all of you have been in situations where you do not want to please God because something just happened that either hurt you, made you angry, and all of those emotions are okay, right? It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be angry. But God says in that, don't what? Don't sin, right? You guys, this is kids' church, so you can answer out, all right? Feel free to do that. Okay, so that's what we're supposed to do. I have this new acronym that I'm saying all the time. What is it, April? All right, it's WAIT. Why am I talking? Like, why am I talking right now? Is it important? Do these people really need my opinion? Usually no. And is God telling me to say this? Okay, then it says, be filled with the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. When first things are first, when Christ is in the middle of it, this happens just automatically, right? Have you been in those points where the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, you're tight with God, and you run around the house, at least I do, singing, and sometimes my kids say, Mom, stop, too much. Okay? Among yourselves and making music. April and I, like, we spend a lot of time, like, on the phone just talking about what God's doing, what God's teaching us, and we have tag-teamed off of each other on a lot. I will call her, and she'll need me to call her, but I didn't really know that. But the Holy Spirit's working, and I can encourage her, and at the same time, she encourages me. All right? Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay? Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ is the verse that came before. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Then we're going to go into now the next slide. We're going to talk about obedience to children because the next verse is children, obey your parents, right? Yeah, I couldn't get rid of that. And that's a great thing about doing kids' church. Mistakes are okay. They're okay in big church too, right, Kirk? Well, there's always mistakes. Okay, so I want your answers. What is obedience? And Miss April, we are going to turn on this microphone now for this. I'm not sure how it got there, but okay. So Miss April is going to handle what is obedience. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to get their answers.
Okay.
She does have a little mic right there.
All righty. So you want me to ask them what is obedience?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me, guys? Tell me what obedience is. Well, what's that? You follow Miss Sue? You hear that, parents? What is obedience? That's good. You do follow when you obey, don't you? Yes, Rain. You follow your parents. Okay, yes. Anybody else can think about what obedience is? When you listen. Yes, very good. Miss Sue?
Okay, anybody else? All right, Titus. Believe it or not, that happens a lot. Okay, I asked them to be real, so
there it is.
There it is. All right. So our next slide is going to tell us kind of what God says. Okay, so obedience is hearing the word of God and acting on it, lining up with our will to God's will, doing what God has asked us to do. So here's the thing, again, first things first, right? If you're hearing God's word, if you're acting on it, if you're aligning, getting it in line with what God wants you to do, right? And we have to decide how we're going to handle that, right? Am I going to try to talk over that sound, or am I just going to sit and wait? I'm just going to sit and wait, okay? All right, so on to the next slide. Now we're going to talk about honor. All right, what does honor mean? All right, we're not going to use the mic. We're just not going to go there. We don't know what happened. All right, so what does it mean to honor somebody? Okay, it says honor your parents, but what does it mean by that? Follow their rules and what? Listen to what they say. That's obedience, okay? What is honor? Honor is a little different. Caleb?
Respect
your parents, okay?
Respect.
Yeah, good idea. What is respect? Okay. Darshay? What?
Encourage
them. What else? Okay, respect what they say nice things. Okay, so when we go back to obedience, is there any attitude involved in obedience? So, is there? Okay, what kind of... Okay, so doing it without them asking is a great thing. Not many kids will do that, so let's go to the definition of honor. And then I want to read something to you because it encouraged me, and then I have a story to share with you because I do believe that God works in each of us differently, and we all have our own stories, right? And we all have the things that God puts in our lives, teaches us, that we can teach other people through the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to share a story with you, and I'm going to try not to cry. So respect, being respectful in words and actions and having an inner attitude of self-esteem for their position, assigned value. And if we went on to the rest of the scripture, we'd also be talking about slaves and masters, or employees, employers, same kind of thing. It's a respect that we give that comes from the inside out, and it goes back to the first things first, obedience to God and following God. Because I can't do this, I can't respect or honor people, especially people who are somewhat dishonorable or don't fit into a place. And I used to say to my mom when I was a kid that I can't respect you unless you're respectable. And that's simply not true. That's not what God's word says, okay? We can respect and honor people even when they're unrespectable. Okay, I wanna tell you a story about my mom. So my mom and I, my dad and I are tight. My mom and I never really were. very tight. There's a lot of reasons for that, and there's a lot of stories in that, and I'm not going to tell them all to you because you don't need to know them. And if I'm close with you, I might tell you some of those stories. We don't have to tell people our whole story, right? It's not necessary. But sometimes the whole story is important. So my mom and I had a very strained relationship. I did not respect her, and I did not honor her, especially when I was a teenager, okay? And there were reasons for that, reasons that some of you would say, I get that, and reasons that weren't good, okay? And so we had this relationship that wasn't good. It just wasn't good. I did not respect my mom. And there were times when I can tell you that I kind of hated her. I did hate her, okay? So I got to be in college, and I had my uncle and my aunt, who loved God dearly, and they started working with me and telling me that it does not matter what someone else does to you. You are responsible for your own actions and your own attitude. So the encouragement was, you need to memorize scripture that will help you with that. So I had these cards, guys. I had multiple of them. But the one I remember the most is, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so as a teenager, as a college student, I could choose a soft answer, or I could choose a disrespectful, strong, nasty answer. And God really worked on my heart to start honoring my mom more in college. I got married and I worked at TCS. And some of the high school students, I was a leader in the youth group at our church, and some of the high school students worked there. So long story short, they asked me to lead a Bible study with them on forgiveness. Okay? So the first part of this forgiveness Bible study was not about me forgiving. It was about me asking for forgiveness. So you were supposed to spend an amount of time praying and asking God to reveal who you needed to ask forgiveness of. Okay? And of course, what popped into my head first? My mom, right? So I had to prayerfully go to my mom, regardless of what she did. And of course, it was all about attitude, honor, being sincere. Don't do it if you're not sincere, because it's a waste of time. And so I worked on that in my heart. And then one day, I went to my mom. I took her in my brother's room. They didn't live there anymore. And I got on my knees before her, and I said, Mom, I just really need to ask you to forgive me. I just really need you. I was a pain. I was disrespectful. I did not honor you, and I am really sorry. And I can tell you that I had expectations of a negative retort. That did not come. My mom said yes. So anytime in later in the future, when my mom would bring up the past, I would say, Mom, I asked you to forgive me. Did you? And she would say yes, and we would move on. So that started a whole, so I got to the point after that where I could forgive my mom for what she had done, because I had been forgiven, not only from my mom, but from God, right? And so it was once I got my forgiveness out of the way, I could forgive. And it was a beautiful thing. I'm not going to tell you that my mom and I's relationship was like top notch, but I can tell you that as the years went by, I respected her more, honored her more, and as she went into dementia in the last couple of years, I have been there. I have loved her. I have seen things in her that I never would have seen before. And 3 weeks ago, we had a big party for my parents. They celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. And my mom didn't understand all of it, but she understood the party part, and she enjoyed it, and she had fun seeing her grandkids. Afterwards, I went to say goodnight to her in her room, and she said to me, "I want you to know that I think that you are an amazing daughter." And I was like, "Mom, you're an amazing mom." And she said, "I was not, but I still want you to know that you are an amazing daughter." And guys, I waited my whole life for that. I waited my whole life for those words, for my mom saying I was a good daughter, and for her to apologize, because that's what that was from her, to apologize for what she had done as a parent. It was beautiful. But if I hadn't chosen to ask forgiveness, if I hadn't chosen to honor and do what God called me to do, I would not have been there. I want to read you something because I hope it'll encourage you. Honoring is usually something that usually doesn't happen in the child until adulthood. When the child has his own experiences as a parent, to draw upon and appreciate his parents' loving labors. This fact shows us that it's not too late to grow in honoring our parents, and that God is aware, noticing, and rewarding with the blessing of long life. Obedience to parents as a child gets one started in the right direction and produces its own rewards. Yet the honoring of parents greatly increases the appreciation for them. The real reward lies in the practice of honoring itself. Rewards that affect our place in the kingdom of God, because we have transferred giving honor to our physical parents to giving spiritual and moral honor to God. Honor is the definition is assigned value, attitude of esteem. So here's a question. The Bible story that jumped into my mind was Esther. And I don't know if you know the story, but Esther became queen, and there was a man named Haman who hated the Jews, and Esther had an uncle named Mordecai. And Mordecai saved the king's life, and so the king wanted to honor him. Haman hated Mordecai because he wouldn't bow to him, and so the king chose, unknowingly, Haman to honor Mordecai. And that honor included the king's robes. It included riding on a horse and Haman yelling out, "This is the way the king honors those who follow him." Okay, basically. And Haman, if anybody remembers, he was pretty mortified, right? And he didn't feel the honor. God wants us to honor, to respect, to give, to say that we're thankful. Okay, because there's always something to be thankful for. Even if my childhood wasn't number one, the best, my mom read to me. I love reading because she read to me. And I can honor that, right? My mom made sure I got to church every week, multiple times a week. I can honor her for that. My mom showed me how to share the gospel because she did that with the people in our neighborhood, and she got me into doing five-day clubs, which was the beginning of me being involved in children's ministry. So I can honor that. There are lots of things I can honor, and honor is important. And it's not too late for me to have a long life. It's not too late for you to have a long life. All right, we're going to go on to the next one. Okay. Can we flip to, okay, what's provoked to wrath? Okay, so parents, this is on you now. And I only have 3 minutes, so you get off light. But we're not supposed to provoke our children to wrath. And what does that look like? We're going to go on to the next slide. What is provoking to wrath? The word for provoke in the original Greek language means to irritate, arouse feelings such as anger, hurt, shame, fear to the point of exasperation. Other translations say, don't exasperate, don't aggravate, don't drive to resentment, don't nag, and don't embitter. Okay, that's important, right? I have four kids, and they are all greatly functioning adults, right? And I love them, but they will come to me on a regular basis and say, Mom, you did this when we were kids. And I have a choice. I can say, I'm sorry. You're right. And I can tell you that as I'm a grandparent, it's so much better. Because I have learned so much more, and I can say yes to my grandkids way more than I said yes to my kids. Parents, I just want to encourage you, say yes to your kids more. They'll appreciate it, okay? But not driving them to bitterness, not always constantly going after them about things. Let them make their own mistakes. Okay? And sometimes when they're younger, it's easier to let them make their own mistakes, because my grandson's mistake the other day was he was swinging on the swings, holding on, and he decided to look over here and let go, and what happened? He fell off the swing. Okay, luckily, it was one of those parks that has like that rubber, so he just bounced. But I could, and I let him bounce because I knew it was safe to bounce, right? He didn't know it was safe, and he was kind of a little scared, but I let him bounce. When I got him back up, I said, that's why Grandma says hold on with both hands, because you won't fall, right? And so what happened when I swung him again? Both hands, not letting go, okay? And we need to teach our kids to make their own mistakes. It's okay to fail. How many of you have learned more from your mistakes than you have from all the good things you've done? Right? All right. So let your kids make mistakes. Don't stop them from doing everything. But then there are things that God will tell you, no, this is not something I want to do. Here's an example. When I was a teenager, we had Teen Town in our neighborhood. It was a place where teens could go dance, not supposed to be any alcohol, just fun. And I asked my dad, and he said, which was cool, he said, I'll pray about it. And so I said, okay, which he used to just say yes or no, okay, but he said, I'll pray about it. And so he came back and said, I can't tell you why, but God is telling me no. And I was angry, and not that I didn't forgive him, you know, it's a small thing, but I was angry about it, and I was angry about it for years. I never got to do those things that my other friends got to do. Well, years later, I met a friend, and somehow we got on Teen Town. Now, I wasn't whining about it, but we got on it. And she said, you should be glad your dad didn't let you go, because there was alcohol, there were drugs, there were lots of weird things going on. And my dad didn't know that. He just knew that God said no. So sometimes we say no because God reveals that we should say no. Okay, so I'm not saying don't say no, but I do tell parents all the time, say yes as much as you can and save your no's for the big things. Okay, so back to honor, respect, back to the center. You guys, we can't be good parents, grandparents, we can't be good people unless God's in the center. Okay, and it all comes back to that. First things first. Daily, if I'm not in God's word, daily, if I'm not stopping and saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? I make the wrong decision, okay? And you can ask my kids, you can ask my husband. I make wrong decisions all the time. But we have to put the first things first. All right, are you guys bored yet? Okay, so we are going to pray, and then we're going to go do open house in the children's ministry. There are snacks. We have some really cool cookies with the new logo, and we have some fruit. So I'm going to pray you out of here, and we're going to let, right now, the parents with young children go get their kids and get them out of there, so then the rest of us can come in. So if you have children from one-year-old to kindergarten, you can go get them now. Bring them out, line up to get back in, okay? And if you are helping with food or checking and all that, you can go right now too. All right, we're going to pray, guys. Titus. All right, Lord, I just want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to share what you have given us. Lord, what we want most is for these kids to know you, to follow you, to love you, and to know that we love them. Lord, help us to think carefully about words that we say, things we do that will aggravate or bring our kids to anger. Lord, help us to stop, ask you for help, because in that we are exampling you. Help us to be, to imitate you. And Lord, as we follow you, help our kids to see how important it is to put first things first. In Jesus' name, amen.